Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use the reading out of Matthew 28 as the text. Jan and I had the great privilege several years ago, of flying into Paris. And it was my first trip out of the country, if you don't count a hop across the border into Mexico or Canada. And I remember we landed at 10 a.m., so we, in broad daylight, we flew over the city of Paris, and I remember looking at the city, and I remember the exact feeling that I had as I looked over that city. I felt complete fear. We landed in the airport, touched down on the ground, and here's the thing I found about the French, which is just, it's disconcerting. They speak French. There were no parlez-vous English in the airport, and I stood there completely unaware of how we were going to get it, the 13 miles from the airport to our hotel. And I just wanted to jump back on the plane and just fly back home because I felt such a fear about all of that unknown that was going on. These two women in our gospel reading stood at the turning point of history. Here in this place, an event had occurred that would change everything. They were face to face with an angel. They were staring into an empty tomb. They knew that they were standing before a major event. Now look at their emotions. The Bible says they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. They were afraid. The first witnesses of Easter were afraid. I was sharing with Tommy that I'm going to talk about the fear of these women in my text, and Tommy said he had a fear of women when he was in junior high. And I said, I still do, but enough about the Altar Guild and LWML. This is a different story, okay? There's a good sermon there, I'm sure, but for maybe a men's group or something. But the word for fear here means, it's a Greek word, and it means to withdraw because you feel inadequate, or it means to flee, to avoid something you dread. They were afraid, and they felt like running away. First witnesses of the greatest event in history felt like running away. Something really big has happened. Let's go hide. I understand. God is scary. He is powerful. He is holy. He is pure. But that's not what scares me about God. I understand the whole forgiveness thing, and I understand I don't have to be afraid of that. It's still true that He changes things. What they now knew had happened on the first Easter would change everything. Jesus had not come to just lead their little flock or to teach their little group. It was not about being a beloved healer. It was not just about being their teacher. He had come to bring them peace and joy. That was good. But He had come also to change the whole world. And maybe they were not up for that. Maybe they hadn't signed on to that. They had been walking and they had been talking with the Messiah. And they had been keeping company with God. Maybe that was more than they could handle. I can understand why it would be safer, perhaps, maybe even wiser, to just hide and see what happens. If Jesus ever told you, I will be with you always, would it change your world? Would you look back over your life and begin to remember times you had broken God's rules, or times you had sinned, and times you had not kept everything He had asked you to keep? Would you be afraid that God might not like you anymore? I mean, if He is living with you and He sees your sins, is He still going to love you? He is God. He is holy. And even if your sins do not bother you, there is that other thing. There is change. What if God would want to change your life? What if He had plans that were different from yours? Could you understand the fear then? If God just showed up today in this room, walked in, said He was raising an army to change the world, and He wants to start right now, I bet you many of you would hop up and join Him, and I would hope I would. But you know, I might just have this thought that I could text my wife and say, hey, quietly make your way to the car. We're going home. Because God, when He changes things, doesn't ask our permission, and He doesn't ask for our ideas. At least for a fleeting moment, I can understand why those women might want to run and hide. Easter was a scary place to be. It still is. Today, we are at Easter. I know you've come to celebrate, and I don't want to take that away. That's what we should be doing. But if you're like me, your relationship with God is stalked with questions. What about my sins? What about my doubts? And what if I don't want to always be doing what God wants me to do? What if I abandon God sometimes to do what I want to do? What if I want to give God some of my time, but not all of my time? And if I have all of those questions, shouldn't I be thinking about hiding from God? Shouldn't I be afraid? Do you want to live your life afraid all the time? Is that the way you want to live your life? Wouldn't it be better if you could live every moment of your life and never be afraid? Is that a possibility? How can we be weak? How can we fail so many times and still expect to not be afraid of God? Let's check out those two frightened women. They found the way. They hurried away from the tomb, and maybe they were on their way to hide somewhere, to disappear from history, I don't know. Then they met Jesus, and that's when Easter happened for them. To me, it's absolutely amazing. He didn't chide them for their doubt, didn't get after them for trying to run away. He said those amazing words, "Don't be afraid." He saw their fear, and he loved them, and he gave them a job to do that they could do, that they could handle. Jesus came to be, he came to be our Savior because we are scared too many times, because we are weak. It's the first thing you need to know about your celebration of the victory. That's the reason he came. I'm glad you're here today. The songs are louder when we have a church full of people. We get to share the day. I'm very glad you're here. I love the brass music and the choir and the violin, all the special music, the organ music. I love the specialness of the day. But other than that, my standards are very low. If you show up and you sort of act halfway friendly, that's about all I expect. God has higher standards. God expects righteousness. God expects pureness. God expects you to be holy. God is glad you are here today. Our fear, our failure, our ancient and panic desire to hide in fear and in shame, that is why Easter had to be. Jesus wants you to know you have his permission in the present condition of your life. You have his permission to celebrate. You don't have to hide anymore. What those nervous ladies found out in our text is true today. It isn't Easter until you meet Jesus. But when you meet Jesus, it changes everything. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now here's the miracle part. God does not have to overlook ugly when he talks to us. He does not have to hold his nose when I pray. He does not just pretend you are nice because you showed up today. The gift of forgiveness has made you beautiful. You are beautiful in the eyes of God. You are lovely in the eyes of God. You are special in the eyes of God. And you know why? Because you deserve to be. You stand before him and you are without sin. You stand before him and you are pure and you are holy because the blood of Jesus Christ removes every sin from your record. You are the righteous ones of God. So let's make a change in how we celebrate the season. Do not celebrate this day only because it is the right thing to do. I want you to search Easter for the reason. I want you to find the promise. I want you to learn again the gift of forgiveness. I think that we get old and we grow up and we lose some of our joy of the holidays. And we get busy and they just aren't the same anymore. I remember the exact moment when I got my joy for the holidays back again, and so do you. It's when you have children. When you have children, you get Christmas back. When you have children, you get Easter back. I tried to be the best father I could be. I tried to give them everything I possibly thought they needed. I worked hard at it. I was not an absent father. But they gave me the greater gift. They gave me back Christmas. They gave me back Easter. They gave me back a way to celebrate life. Kids know how to party. I want to learn to live like they do. I want to learn to see the things around me like they do, to see the joy in the simple things of life because they're brand new and they're exciting and they're colorful. They just know how to do that. Look with those eyes at your reason for joy. God removed from your record every sin that you have done and every sin that you will do. God has taken away everything that cancels out your holiness, and you stand before him pure, and it's a good reason to find joy in your life. Those ladies found joy. The Bible says they were filled with fear and great joy. The same choice of emotion stands before you today. I realize I've lost all of you by now, so I'm pausing to get you back. It's a speaker's trick. Easter gives you the choice of great joy. It is an option that is available to you. Easter makes the great joy option available. I challenge you to choose joy in your life. Easter is when you win. Easter is when you are put in touch with special. I know ahead of us, every single individual here, ahead of us faces times when we will not understand what is happening in our life. And we will face times when there will be pain. And we will face times when there will be confusion. And we will face time when we have reason to be afraid. I challenge you, don't hide. Resist the voice that tells you to run away. I don't believe Easter was ever meant to be one Sunday early in spring. I think it's meant to greet your every morning. I think it's meant to put you to sleep when you put your head on the pillow to go to sleep. And especially it is meant to find you when you are hiding because you are embarrassed or because you are ashamed, because you are afraid. It's meant to find you in your hiding place, to call you to stand in the sunlight and to know you're loved by God in that place, that He's not abandoned you, that He knows our very weakest day and loves us at that moment. We did find the hotel in Paris, and because we had flown all night and my wife was a little tired, she went to the room to rest, but I wanted to walk in Paris. It was snowing a little bit. It was a beautiful day. The thing is, I could not pronounce the name of our hotel. So I knew that if I got lost, I couldn't tell them where my wife was sleeping, and she had all the money. So what I finally did was I walked that direction until I could just barely see my hotel. Then I turned and I walked that direction past the hotel until I could just barely see the hotel. And then I turned and I walked that direction until I could barely see it. Then I walked that direction. 2 hours of walking back and forth, never lost sight of the hotel. And I felt safe because I knew I could always go back to that door right over there and that would be my hotel. You and I have been given a privilege that anywhere we go, we have within our vision, within our sight, an empty cross because the Savior is not there anymore. He gave His life there. They took His lifeless body down from that cross. And they buried Him in a tomb, but the tomb is empty too because He burst from the grave and He gives us victory over death. And everywhere you go and everything you do and every moment that you exist, you have within your vision that empty cross and that empty tomb. And that's what gives you the power, not just to say it, but to be. Happy Easter. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus our Savior. Amen.